Now bless and help us, we pray, in every aspect of this meeting and in this message, in our Savior's name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. Proverbs 12 verse 4 is our text. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. I want to begin by giving you a little note from John Plowman. The man who weds a loving wife, whate'er betideth him in life, shall bear up under all. But he that finds an evil mate, no good can come within his gate. His cup is filled with gall. It is a true saying, there is nothing as bad as a bad marriage, and that behind every good man is a good woman. Our text here tonight brings us to consider this woman who is virtuous. She is full of energy, she is upright, and she does her husband good. She makes life increase for him. She does not subtract, she adds. She is not a burden, but a blessing. Now, marriage is God's arithmetic. They multiply their joys by sharing them, and they lessen their burdens by dividing them. Now, this is a most complex subject because no two wives are alike. And it is further complicated because there are no two husbands who are alike. The state of a woman who is married to a farmer is very different to that of a woman who's married to a restaurant owner or to a missionary. And so the man that you marry is going to change your life in one way or another. And then to add to the mix, most women might be different if they were married to different men. The Hebrews had a saying, "He is not a man that hath not a woman." And after the creation, the Lord knew that though man alone may be good, yet it is not good for man to be alone. And so there must be a good reason for that enduring adage that behind every man is a good woman. Now, even Solomon found this a difficult subject because to preach the positive, he resorted to the negative. And if you read this text, you will see here that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. And so Solomon, he takes to the negative what this virtuous woman is not. And the opposite to virtuous is shameful. Now that's going to be our first point tonight. And I want you to take that to mind and take it to heart. The opposite to the virtuous woman is shameful. This reference as rottenness in his bones, this is like a disease that creeps into the body that cannot be cured. It's a long-term, ongoing, painful, and difficult thing to bear. In a blessed marriage, at the end of the day, a man closes the door to his troubles. But in a bad marriage, when he closes the door to the world, he only enters the door of sorrow. Now from Proverbs chapter 31, and you'll know, of course, the virtuous woman, the Proverbs 31 woman that's often referred to, that in that chapter you have a whole list of the characteristics of this virtuous woman. And it might be a good thing to turn there and just to refresh ourselves of some of the points that are made concerning this virtuous woman. Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Now let's pause there tonight. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her. Well, this is the woman thereby that her husband has great confidence, great assurance, that even when he is away from the home, that all will be well. Now, the shameful woman, the opposite to the virtuous, well, she's the woman that the husband cannot trust. She's the woman that the husband cannot have that comfort that when he's gone, all is well. She shirks work. She seeks high places and expensive company. She gossips at the expense of her closest friends and family to impress perhaps a higher class. She's not at home when her husband is expecting her, and she's always late home. She cannot manage money. Now, I'm just looking at all the opposites to the virtuous woman that is described here in Proverbs 31. And this only describes the depth of the problem of being married to such a person. And through all of these things, trust breaks down. And there is nothing that will be as harmful to a marriage or any relationship than the breach of trust. And her husband has to phone home to see what she is doing, or maybe even go to the neighbors to find out where she is. In these modern times, a husband would buy his wife a phone, a cell phone, and say, "Now you keep that on so that I will know how to find you and how to discover how you are doing." Now again, Proverbs 31, verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. The shameful woman, just to keep that theme for a moment, I'm flipping the coin. I'm making us to think of the harm of one who is as rottenness in her husband's bones. The children are left alone. They only eat convenience foods. The mother is watching her favorite soaps on television hour by hour, and things be neglected. You might be surprised to think that such women were to be found in Solomon's day. How did he know? Well, this is nothing new. In the human heart, things go wrong. And of course, sin is the problem. Pride, self, ego, self-trust, all of these things are the problem. And so we want to be delivered from a wife that would be as rottenness to our bones. That brings us now to the essence of virtuous. What is the nature of the woman who is virtuous? Well, she is a servant. And that's the very essence of Christianity. We're not trying to create some superwoman here. We're not trying to create something that is out of the ordinary. Our Lord Jesus came into this world to be a servant. He came to humble himself, that he might take the form of a servant. And of course, all that he did in this world was that he might serve men. And this now becomes the spirit of the woman that feareth the Lord. the virtuous woman who takes the example of her Lord and so serves in her marriage, in her home, and her husband. And the prime motivation in the life of this woman is that she does all unto the Lord. That's the key. And that makes all the difference. Doing it unto the Lord with a servant spirit. Now notice in Proverbs 12 verse 4 that she will want to serve her husband. It says here, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. She is the queen in his life. Her pride and her joy, and she has pride. Every good wife has pride. She has a standing. She has a name. And she has a reputation. And in all of this, her pride and joy is in honoring and in promoting her own husband. He is the head, but she is the crown. And her labors, service, diligence, and faithfulness all work together to advance his name and his work. And she accepts this from the very principle of creation. The Bible is very thorough in expounding this from the very early pages of Genesis. The Apostle Paul takes this up in Ephesians 5, in that chapter on marriage, that the woman was made for the man, that Adam was put to sleep, and out of his rib God created woman, that she would complement and be the very companion of his life. And of course, it is her joy. It is her delight to serve and so minister. Now, we should keep our finger in Proverbs 31 and look at verses 12 and also 23. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 12. And 33, she will do him good and not evil all her days. And then verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. There he is in the public place, but behind the man in his very attire, in his standing, in his reputation, well, his wife is very much behind all of that. She will also serve her children. Someone said this, mom is not a noun, but a verb. The name mom is an action word. It is not just a nice name, a friendly name. It is a call to action. And when you become a mother, well, it means help me, give me, come to me, do for me, all of those things that are necessary to the sustenance of life. And in every language of the world, mother means help. And it leads to the child calling on the Lord. And this is also seen in Proverbs 31, if you look at verses 15 and 27. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She's not skimping here. She is going beyond what is expected, and doing even for the whole household, not just her own offspring, but the whole household, and she is serving in that manner. And then verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. The attitude of the godly or the virtuous woman is not that children are a nuisance. And I fear and tremble that this is so often in our generation the attitude of the modern woman. Children are looked upon as a liability, as a hindrance, and nuisances at times, rather than the gift of the Lord and the blessing of God that are to be helped and guided and cared for. Now, a little comment here in verse 22, back in Proverbs 31 and verse 22. It says, "She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple." For the Christian woman, and I'm taking from Proverbs, the virtuous woman, the godly woman, the woman that fears the Lord with a servant spirit, that's the Christian woman. For the Christian woman, there is no merit in being tardy. Sometimes there is this attitude that, you know, if a woman is a Christian, then she's got to look dowdy, she's got to look unkempt, she's got to, she's almost so afraid of looking polished. Now, I don't mean worldly and using all the array of modern dress, but looking sharp, looking neat, looking beautiful in her own way. There is no merit in a Christian woman dressing down rather than dressing up. And the essence of Christianity is not being dull and dismal in dress. She is a lady who can show her best side in public. Let me encourage ladies to dress well for worship, for God's house. I think we can say that is the attitude of ladies in this church. We commend you for doing that. When we come to the house of the Lord, we want to look our best, not our worst. Then also, she will serve the poor and needy. Let's look at Proverbs 31 and verse 20. "She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy." And it's because, of course, she is a woman of industry. She is a woman who is keeping the home and caring for those things that she is in a position to help. If she were lazy and squandered all of her husband's benefits, she would never be in a position to give anything, either through donations or charity or whatever. She couldn't do those things if she was not inherently and consistently someone who was busy and careful and frugal, all of those things to come together. Now, what will a mom be missed for? Well, the virtuous woman will certainly be missed. I want to tell you about a young woman that I knew. I will not name her tonight, but I knew her very well. She married in her 20s and had four beautiful children. She died with cancer in her early 30s. And she was greatly missed. In fact, she is greatly missed to this very day. She was a real servant. On a cold winter morning, she would leave her home. She would drive the dark roads and arrive at our in-laws' home, who were elderly, to light the fire. And she did it morning by morning with her family and with caring for her husband. Her husband had a fruit business of packing fruit and delivering it, kind of in the wholesale fruit business. And she would be there and she would bring the children along and she would do her part in the busy hours of packing each day. She was known for her wit and her laughter. She loved barbs and making fun. She had truly a jolly countenance. And when she found out that she had cancer, she continued on doing all that she did before as long as she could. Thankfully, in the Lord's mercy, in the time of illness, she got saved. The Lord opened her heart, and she really did have a clear testimony of God's grace and salvation. And for many months, battling cancer, she did so as a servant and sought to serve where she could. Sadly, when her last child was still very, very young, she succumbed to the terrible ravage of cancer. And in that family, she is terribly missed. And there we would say is a young life, a short life, that was truly the virtuous woman living for the glory of God. Her husband trusted in her. Her children to this day rise up to call her blessed. That is the wonderful role of a godly mother's. And while we do not always appreciate our wives and mothers as we should, sometimes teenagers and young people don't really appreciate what their parents or mothers do for them, but later in life they will. Later in life they will understand even the pain and the sacrifices that were made on their behalf and rise up to call their own mother blessed. Now here is a very high standard. And you may wonder, how can we fulfill such a role? How can you be that virtuous woman? Can you do it in your own strength? Well, the answer is no. But there is the power to be virtuous by living in the Spirit. And that's the key. Now, I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and to these opening verses. Philippians 2. Right over there after the book of Ephesians, Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye me my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now notice how the apostle begins this. If there be. Now the word here is not, if is not questioning or subtracting, but rather it simply means since. Since there be therefore consolation in Christ. It's true. There's grace in the person of the Lord Jesus. You're a Christian woman, the Lord has grace for you. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. And these are things that are real. The ifs here are in the subjunctive. They are not intended to question the matter. But these are things that you enjoy and may enjoy through prayer, through communion, and fellowship with the Lord. If any bowels, that simply means sympathy and mercies, help from the Lord. And since you have these things, he says here in verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. And here is the answer to our pride, the answer to our ego that so often gets in the way. And this is what makes us servants, by fellowship with Christ. And of course, this is the chapter, if you look at verse 6, where it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Now, sometimes woman's work is looked upon as drudgery. There's a lot of routine, a lot of daily sameness. And one of the things we remember in our home, as we had five children growing up, it was doing lunches for the morning. And that always seemed to be a task that got done last, when you were hurried after the day and ready for bed, and you had to drag yourself to the fridge to see what you could make for five kids for lunch for the morning. And of course, some of them had their own likes and dislikes. And if you ask any of our children, and they will tell you, when Dad made lunch, it was peanut butter and jelly. And everybody in the class knew what or who had made their lunch for that day. That seemed to be sort of the default position. And so raising children, being parents, being a mother, is very often you looked upon yourself as a servant. But that is the role. And here is the grace, the joy that the Lord gives in the midst of that. Now, if you look at verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And then verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And as the Lord came down from glory all the way to this sinful, cursed world, and all the way to the cross to suffer and die as a servant of the Father to redeem his people, the Lord had the cross in mind when he fulfilled the role of Redeemer. And mothers, a Christian mother, labors, serves in light of what Christ has done for us. And we find our strength and our joy, even in the menial tasks, with the right attitude, through looking to the Savior and, yes, looking to the cross. We must keep our eyes on the Lord and keep in fellowship with him. And we get the strength, the power, the victory to be that virtuous one whom the Lord has called. Now, the cross is reflected in the very heart of God. There's one text that I want to, well, we're soon going to close. We're not exactly going to close with this, but I want you to look at this with me. It's way back in the book of Isaiah. It's chapter 49 and the verse 15. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. That's a rare thing for a nursing mother, to forget her infant and to forget the feeding of the infant. It is, in the frailty of human nature, possible to forget. But the Lord says, yet I will not forget thee. And so the Lord takes this role of the mother to illustrate his own care for his people. And when you know what mothers do for their children, they bring them into this world through pain, they comfort them through their infancy, they minister to them in the middle of the night with loss of sleep, the expenditure of money, the loss of time, and yet it's all joy. This is the wonder of it. It's all joy. Now, your neighbor's children, they'll wear you out in a few minutes or an hour. But your own children, they never wear you out. Well, let's qualify that one. They can weary you physically, but you never get to the point where you say, I'm done with these kids. Get them out of here. You will say that with your neighbor's children, but never with your own. And this is the miracle. This is the wonder of the God-given role of a mother as she cares for her children. And of course, a Christian mother has the help of the Lord. She has this fellowship with the Spirit of God. She has been to the cross. That's the first thing. There is this sacrificial attitude that is now born in your soul. I am here on earth to serve. And God has given me these children. God has given me this opportunity to use my life to shine for the Lord and be a blessing to them. She is surrendered. And just like Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet to learn of his word, the Christian woman is surrendered to the word of the Lord. She is also praying to be a blessing. Every Christian woman is asking, Lord, make me a blessing. Use my life to be an encouragement and an uplift to some soul in this life. And of course, right in your own kitchen, around your own feet, are your children, or maybe your grandchildren. And there you have that opportunity to serve them. And she also is looking for eternal rewards. The virtuous woman. This woman who makes her husband shine, who serves in her home, and who labors for the Lord, who is a crown to her husband. Well, she's going to receive a crown. There is a reward for every sacrifice. Every time when you deny yourself that you might shine as a Christian wife, mother, serving the Lord. And the Lord, of course, taught us that giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name will in no wise lose its reward. And I know it's because you prepare that meal every morning, noon and night, and those lunches, and you do it day by day by day. You think, well, this is just routine stuff. But that is included in the rewards. And that applies to everything that a Christian does. When we do it in Jesus' name, and we do it for his glory. Many women whose sacrifice and labor will not have that blessing because they don't do it unto the Lord. They do it to be keeping up with the Joneses. They do it because they want to earn a name. They do it with all kind of motives that are carnal. But when you serve in Jesus' name, and when you pray, make me the wife I need to be, make me the crown for my husband that I ought to be, there will be eternal rewards and there will be great blessing. you labour not in vain, even in those roles. And so we look here at the virtuous woman, the woman who is a crown to her husband, and instead of being rottenness to his bones, she is the health of his life. What a blessing. What a wonderful gift that we men enjoy today.